Philippians chapter number 4. We're all there. Amen?
Amen.
Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you first, foremost, and always to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity to break this bread of life. And Lord, and I thank you for how you're going to give your people what they stand in need of. So Lord, right now we say thank you for that which you are about to do in our midst. This is our prayer. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ, our blessed and holy Savior name, we pray. And we all together said hallelujah.
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 Amen.
Amen.
All right, our reading will begin in verse number 19. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, and my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to turn to your neighbor. Grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. If you ain't looking at your neighbor, there's a problem. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say, neighbor,
God will
supply.
Neighbor,
God will
supply.
Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message for this 11 a.m. service, God will supply. Truth be told, even as we read that and even as we gave the sermon heading, some folk got excited. Some folk were glad to hear it. Some folk raised their hand. But then there's a reality we have to face. How many of God's people right now are in the season of famine? Where you ain't got a whole lot. You used to have a whole lot, and now it seems like you're barely making the ends meet. You find yourself lacking because there's something you are standing in need of. And because of your lack, you feel that that now is so prevalent, so dominating, that it truly has stymied you from allowing the Lord to have his way in you. Now, I need to make sure we know that there is a distinction between need and want. Yes. Yes. All right. Yes, sir. Sister girl might go shopping and say, you know, I really want to buy them shoes. But you really don't. Come on, man. Brother looks at his car he's been driving for the past whatever number of years and say, you know what? I really want to buy myself a new car, but I really don't. So we have to make a distinction. I really want to get another job because the job I'm on right now, folk are plucking my nerves. But what you want is another job, but you really don't need one. And truth be told, you still, the reason why you're in that job is to find out how good God is going to be and how he's going to make a way for you right in your current situation. But that ain't the sermon today. But there is a difference between want and need. A couple's at home, and I ain't going to say which one really is, you know, love to cook. And the one that loved to cook says to the other one, I don't want to cook tonight. Let's go out to get something to eat.
All
right? That's a want. But then you have a mother who is struggling with three kids and she's by herself. And what she is saying is, Lord, I need to be able to feed my babies tonight. They need to have at least one good meal. That's the difference between need and want. Just like some folk are in here right now who are going through that spiritual famine because you are waiting for God to fulfill your need. So you are right now lacking in something because something is needed. Maybe it's the kids who ain't acting right. Maybe it's the bills that keep piling up and the money coming in ain't equaling the amount that needs to go out to pay the bill. Maybe it's the spouse that don't act, and you know, that's just, you know, plucking the nerve and is that. But whatever it is really a need. A need for God to step in. A need for the Lord to make a way out of no way. So when you look at Philippians 4:19, Paul is talking about the people of God. And when they go through some stuff, you got to know who's the one that's going to fulfill your needs. And when we recognize who that is, it gets real good to us. But I want you to see that when Paul was writing this to the church in Philippi, he was letting them know he appreciated all that they had done for him. And he says, since you've done all this for me, I'm going to tell you what my God is going to do for you. Oh, can I talk about it for a few minutes? God bless you. You see, I want you to know that some folk might take offense to the way Paul starts this verse. Because he says, and my God. So in essence, Paul is taking possession of God. He is telling you about his God. What his God has done for him. So what he is saying is this. My God who has done this for me is also your God. But before I can tell him he's yours, I must know for a fact that he is first. Oh, you don't believe me? If you ever come to testimony times or even when we have it here, you know, during our communion Sunday, a lot of times when folks stand up, they say, my God is a healer. My God is a deliverer. My God is a way maker. My God steps in right on time. My God provided for me. My God turned it around. My God has been there with me through thick and through thin. My God blessed me while I was in the midst of the storm. They're not saying God is not yours. They're telling you before I can tell him he's yours, I first got to know that he is. So when Paul says, my God, what he is saying is, y'all, what I'm about to share with you is something that I know to be true for myself. So when Paul says to the church in Philippi, and my God will fully satisfy every few of your needs. Some of your needs. One need. Oh, okay, so you're going along with me now, huh? That's all good. Paul, the reason why Paul can say this about my God is because when Paul looks at his own life, Sister Davis, he looked at how he was. The brother was misguided. The brother was getting it what? Twisted. He was trying to tear down something that was not built by the hands of man. He was trying to intervene in the work of God, not to help it, but trying to hurt it. And I want you to understand that that when God's plan is moving forward, it is always best for you to come on and go with God rather than try to go against God. Because if you go against God, you might end up like Paul, where you have your Damascus Road experience. From that experience, Paul came to the realization that he was lacking. You know what Paul was lacking, y'all? Paul was in need, Sister Fee, of having understanding.
Yes.
Paul was going against the grain of God. So Deacon Booth, God had to put the brother back in line. But then some folk might look at that and think that what God has done for Paul appears to be unfair. Because Paul was there when they stoned Stephen. Paul was responsible for incarcerating those who were followers of Jesus Christ. He might have even been responsible for some folk being killed because of their confession. So some of the Christians who heard Paul's story during that time probably looked and said, wait a minute, Lord, how is it that Paul gets a pass? Why do you allow him to exist when he has been responsible for trying to destroy us from following you? But I'm here to tell you today, we serve a God who does not come to kill us. He comes to kill the sin in us. Somebody gonna get that. You see, so since he didn't come to kill us, he came to transform us from death to life. He came to transition us from darkness to light. He came to turn us around so that he can bless us and use us to the utmost. And the way that he does that, y'all, is through God's grace and through the grace and mercy of God. Paul came to the realization that once he handed his life over to Jesus and once he was moving forward, there were times when it seemed like Paul wasn't sure how he was going to make it another day. But what he realized is that when he called on the name of Jesus, when he said, Lord, I need your help. Lord, it's getting a little rough on me. Don't you know the Lord stepped in right on time and he satisfied all of his needs. And so when Paul is saying to the church in Philippi, he says, my God will fully satisfy all of your needs. So what is he saying to them? All you got to do is look to him. And what Paul is saying is this. It is not a mystery. It is not a way of doing it, which you know, you have to do some magical stuff. All you have to do is step out on what? And walk by faith and not by what? And when you know it's the Lord who has his hand upon you, every now and then, when it seems like you're walking through a famine time, that's the time you go on and just praise God just a little bit more. That's a time when you just say, Lord, I say, hallelujah, anyhow. I don't care what the world tries to do to block your blessing. I don't care how the world tries to turn you from God. I know I didn't get this far all by myself. It's through the grace and mercy of the Lord who brought me this far, who's going to take me all the way. So, Lord, I just look to you. I just trust you. And know what you're going to do in my life. Do I got a witness in God's house? So when I look at this scripture, what God is saying to us is that he will supply. But there's something that we got to get to fully understand this. He says, and my God will fully supply all of your needs in his riches and glory. According, I should say, to his riches in glory, right? In Christ Jesus. Now, let me help you understand it this way. A lot of us today have debit cards. Amen. Amen. All of us in here, I shouldn't say all, but that's an assumption. I'm not trying to offend. But pretty much all of us got a bank account. Might not have as much of it as you like, but you got some kind of bank account. Right? And again, I'm not trying to offend. But when you go to that bank, Reverend Rhodes, all right. And you, that's right, anniversary 29 coming up tomorrow. You better be up in there. Hallelujah, Sister Rhodes. I know we're with you. When you go to that bank, you got to show them some information. You either have your debit card, or you have your ID, which is to confirm who you are, to ensure that you have an account. And since you have an account, you can't go in there and just say, give me $100,000 out my account, unless you got $100,000 in your account, which means you can't pull out what you ain't. You follow me? But there is certain information that then, even when you got to get some quick cash, you'll go to an ATM machine, right? And you'll put your card in and put in your 4-number PIN. And then for those who are even more sophisticated, you will log into your account online by putting in your username and entering your password, which gives you access to your funds. So if you got to transfer some money or even pay bills, you can do it in that way. So in all actuality, and then they even got stuff you can do mobily, but still, there's three things you need. You got to have an account number if you go inside to the bank, right? If you go to an ATM, you got to have a debit card, and you have to have a PIN, correct? And if you're logging online, you have to have what? A user ID accompanied by a what? Password. Well, I want you to understand something. And you can only get out what you what? Put in. So if you ain't got it in there, you can't. But I want you to know that we also, now I got to give you this last piece about your accounts. You see, back in during the time of Depression, you know, a lot of folk putting money in banks. You know, back then, you know, our parents, grandparents were alive, and they saw how the Great Depression impacted a lot of folk. Some folk worked hard and had $5 in the bank back in the late 20s and early 30s. And I want you to know $5 was a lot of money back then. And then to see this bank go under, and you go there to say, give me about $5. They're like, we closed. We ain't got nobody's money. So that right there is where the FDIC was instituted, which is the way of insuring the funds you put in. And depending on your funds and depending on the bank, they will insure you up to $100,000. Some of them will insure you up to $2 million. But I want you to know that that's the whole purpose of the FDIC, to make sure the money you put in the bank will still be there even if that bank goes what? Under. Right? But, again, you only can take out. But I want you to know that we serve a God who has his own bank. It's a heavenly bank. And every child of God has the password, the PIN, and an account number. And his name is
Jesus.
So I want you to know that when you call on the name of Jesus and you say, Lord, I need your help, And the help ain't always about putting Benjamins in your pocket. The help can be whatever is needed. And I want you to know you can go and draw on that account. Even if you ain't got a whole lot up in there. Because I want you to know when you put in the password name Jesus, you have everything that you need. All you got to do is go into that account and the Lord will give you what you need. Do I got a witness in God's house? You see, our God will supply. Our God will supply. You see, and you know how when you write checks, you got to make sure you got enough money. Because if you ain't got enough money, that ball, that check will bounce higher than a Super Bowl. But I thank God that many of us, because of the sin in our lives, we have had some bad accounts. We have been overdrawn. But that wasn't our heavenly account. But now that we have Jesus, I want you to know he automatically opened an account for you with your name on it. And there is no limit. I thank God he doesn't put a limit on how he blesses us. I thank God he meets us right where we are. Supplies us with whatever we need. I want you to know today, my brother, today, my sister, you got to get this power. Some of us don't think we're worthy to draw from God's account. You know why? Because of the sin that was in our lives. Now that the Lord has blessed us, healed and delivered us, we still look at, Lord, I am not deserving of anything you have for me. But what I'm here to tell you today, all of us have messed up. All of us and all of our righteousness in the presence of God is like filthy rags. So when we came to the Lord, we came to the Lord with a account that was in the red. We came to God with an account that had no funds in it, and it was an overdrawn account. But now that we have Jesus, I want you to understand something. Where you think you can't go and draw on the account because of the way you did and what you've done in your life, I want you to understand the devil is a liar. That the Lord has an account just for you, with everything in it that you need. I want you to realize this day that just because you know how you used to be and how you used to live, you still have an account with the Lord. And when you look at what Paul says again, he says in verse number 19, and my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He doesn't say get your life fully together. He doesn't say stop sinning. What he says is that when you have Jesus, Jesus is the password to the account. And when you got Jesus, the Lord will bless you with everything that you need. Do I got a witness in God's house? Somebody needed to hear that today. Somebody needed to know today. You have an account with God, and it can't ever get overdrawn. What we struggle with, my brothers,
break it down.
What we struggle with, my sisters, we don't struggle with God. Mother Austin, we find ourselves struggling more with ourselves. Looking at the person in the mirror, we keep kicking ourselves. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
you ain't perfect. And you won't be
on this side. Did you hear that? You ain't and you won't be. Now, should that mean that we stop striving to be better? That means that that moves us to strive to be even better. Because yes, perfection would be a good thing. But it's hard and it's unattainable on this side. but we are striving to be as close to 100% as we possibly can be. But we understand that while we are here in this cesspool of sin, every now and then a stain will get on you. But I thank God that we have Jesus, and through the blood of Jesus, he will wash away all the sins. And when you understand how good our God is, Sharonda, you know that the Lord blesses us from the inside out. And when God puts on the inside of you, it is in a place that the enemy can't get to. And the enemy always tries to get to it. But I want you to know, he ain't on the inside. He's on the what?
Outside.
And you got to keep reminding yourself this one verse. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And when I know that greatness is inside of me, it will keep the craziness on the outside of me. It will keep it at bay. Do I got a witness in God's house? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Will God supply? Will God bless? Will God heal? Will God deliver? Somebody ought to rise to their feet. Give God some praise. Thank him right now. Because he is a mighty good God. Is he a mighty good God? Has he been good to you? Is he blessing you? Somebody ought to say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You see, I need us to understand today. Sister Davis, if you don't mind going over to that keyboard. I want you to understand today. We're going to do a little exercise right now. And this is going to help us understand. Because some folk are lacking. Because you have real needs. And I'm not going to make little of your needs. But what I want you to understand is that we serve a God who will fully satisfy all your needs. But in order for you to do that, you got to trust God. You got to believe you already have it before you ever get it. So, Sister Davis, I need a little bit about turning around. Because I need us to understand. When you hear it in the song, I want you to do what the song tells us. Because it's going to tell us. And when it's, and when you see me do it, I want you to do it with me. Go on, choir. Go ahead, Sister Davis.
Rejoice.
Come on, God.
Rejoice, 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 rejoice.
Rejoice.
Delivering me. Every time I turn around,
rejoice.
He supplies all my needs.
Rejoice.